This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You today that we're able to worship You freely, honestly, sincerely. We love You so much. Thank You for loving us, not because of, but in spite of. Thank You for Your unwavering, undying love for all of us. Truth of the matter is, oh God, You've been so good to us. We cannot tell it all. If we had 10,000 tongues, we could not thank You enough. But with the one tongue we do have, we say thank You with everything in us, oh God. Your abundant mercy, Your endless grace that You bestow upon us all. We thank You, oh God. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your glory. Thank You for Your power, Your faithfulness. Every day You keep on blessing us. There's not a day we've lived that You have not taken care of us. You've never missed a day in being our God and our Father. And we thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. Thank You for this worship time, this time to commune with You and share with You, to love on You, to feel Your embrace. Thank You, O God, for Your presence that's here with us, not just in the building, but in the hearts of Your children. Thank You that You walk with us. Thank You that You talk with us. Thank You for Your word that is given to equip us to be better for You. Will You, O God, have mercy on us where we've fallen short, where we've sinned against You? Will You forgive us, Father? Give us the strength to turn away from it and not to return. We ask now, O God, Your preaching, teaching power, that Your Holy Spirit will share with us that what You have for us to know, and we're already the better for it. We pray, oh God, You deposit some great seeds in this place, and we are excited about the fruit that shall come thereof. In Jesus Christ's name, we thank You and we praise You. Amen. Amen. People of God said amen. People of God said amen again. Aren't you glad to be in church this morning? Aren't you glad to be here? Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. We greet You in the name of all that is unlike any other name. In Him we live, move, and have our being. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Whether you know it or not, He's good. And you might as well recognize Him because He's still God. And if you don't recognize Him, He's still going to be God. Isn't that right? Amen. And we thank Him for being God today. To all of our ministers and all the officers of this body and to all of you, my Father's children, it's just good to see you today in the house of the Lord. Amen. And somebody came on purpose today. Somebody came to give God glory today. Somebody came intentionally to a God who's been good to you. Amen. 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 God bless you. So good to see you in church this morning. Amen. In worship this morning, it's good to see you. And pray that you're glad to be seen. Amen. I checked the schedule. The Saints kick off at noon. And so we'll do our best to get out your hair. We're going to read the word. We're going to gain a sermonic thought. And we'll see what the Lord had to say to us on today. Amen. I'm smart enough to know where I am. Amen. There is a word from the Lord today from the gospel according to St. John, chapter number 4. A very different word the Lord wants to share with us and solicit your prayers as we attempt to do our very best to share with you, thus saith the Lord. We believe there is a word from the Lord. Amen. This is not G. Tamel Ham's Bible. This is the word of God. Amen. My job is just to give you what God has given me to give you. Amen. Amen. I don't think I'm mad at anybody. Y'all probably mad at me, but I ain't mad at anybody. Amen. I'm just glad to be in church today. Amen. I come in peace. I come in peace. Amen. The gospel according to St. John chapter number 4. And there's a word we want to lift just for brevity's sake. And then we'll see what the Lord had to say to us. If you would, look at St. John chapter 4, verse number 7. Are you there? When you find it, say, I found it. If you hadn't found it, say, wait for me. I heard you. I think I heard somebody say. Who said that? Okay, you got it now, Mr. Day? All right. St. John chapter 4, verse number 7. The scripture reads thusly, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. That's enough. You may be seated in the presence of God. Blessed are those who read and apply God's holy word. I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you been by the well? Look someone next to you and say, neighbor, I got a question for you. Have you been by the well? Amen. Have you been by the well? To someone who does not know Christ, you need to go by the well. Someone who does know Christ, you need to go by the well. In order for us to develop and be what God has called us to be, there are calls for time for you and I to go by the well. The well, ladies and gentlemen, is this place, as a hyperbole, as a metaphoric place to us today, where we examine ourselves, where we have a conversation with Christ, and see where we line up according to his word, his will, and his way. And most of us, when you ask the question and you say that, most of us shut down because we really don't want to go to the well. But I want to share with you today that the word won't mean anything until you go by the well. And your worship won't mean too much until you learn how to go by the well. And so often we try to bypass the well and go straight to worship. So often we bypass the well and try to get the word. But only when you can tell when folks done been by the well, though. Because when people have gone by the well and had some conversation with Christ, they praise is a little bit different. When folks done had a time with God, they've been by the well, they're not as uppity as they used to be. When people have really gone by the well, they're not very arrogant anymore. When people have gone by the well, they're not looking at other people anymore. They're not scared by their inhibitions. They're not worried about somebody laughing at them, not worried about somebody talking about them. Because when people have been by the well, they can't be the same. When you've gone by the well, you look at your hands, and your hands might look new. You look at your feet, and your feet might look new, but you look within yourself and know that you're made brand new when you've gone by the well. Have you been by the well this morning, brothers and sisters? This well where you went in a sinner and came out a saint. When you were a drunkard, end up being a deacon. You were a pimp coming out being a preacher. Does anybody else know what I'm talking about? That you go in one way and come out another once you've gone by the well. And the trouble you're going to have this morning, y'all, that the well ain't necessarily in the church. If you don't understand that, you won't understand this message. You ain't always going to get it when you're in church. But sometime while you're driving, you got to go by the well. Sometime on your job with an ungodly boss, you got to go by the well. Sometime in the hospital room on stage 4 and the doctor saying nothing he can do, you got to go by the well. You can't always go by the well Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, but sometime in your prayer closet, sometime at home with them hard-headed kids and that stubborn husband and people who won't do right, and anybody know what I'm talking about, every now and then you got to go by the well. And such happens, brothers and sisters, in St. John chapter number 4. And I thank God the way John, the writer of this book, he introduces this book. This book is different than the other three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Those synoptic gospels show us the biography and the story of Jesus in summary form.
But John don't deal with it like that. Matthew gives him us as the promised Messiah, and Mark talks about him as the suffering servant, and Luke talks about him as the great physician, but John say he's God. He points Jesus to us as God. I'm going to say it one more time and try it for you. In Matthew, he points us to Jesus as the promised king and the Messiah. In Mark, he points him to us as the suffering servant, the Son of Man. In Luke, he talks to him as the great physician and the Son of Man once again. But in the book of John, John say, y'all know by now that he was born. Y'all know by now that he can do miracles. Y'all know by now that he can raise. You know by now he can open up blind eyes. But somebody needs to look at John sometime and realize that he is God. He is the Word. According to St. John chapter 1, verse 14, he is the Word made flesh. St. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is God wrapped up in flesh. That should have been shouting talk for somebody, because not only is Jesus your brother, not only is he your Savior, he's also your God. And we ought to learn, brothers and sisters, that Jesus is big enough. He's the only man that's older than his mama. He's the only person born, and he's the father of his mama. That's what kind of Jesus you serve. When the Lord said in Genesis, let us make man in our image, it was one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost. I ain't ready to travel yet. I'm just trying to talk about Jesus. Not only is he the Son of God, but he's God the Son. Y'all just shout and talk. Y'all missed that. Not only is he the Son of God, but your Jesus is the God, the Son. And John points us to it. John gets past all the biography. And John gives us a view of just how much of the deity of Jesus. He performs his miracle in chapter 2, and he does this first miracle, turning water to wine. That should have really encouraged you alcoholics in the room, because he turned water into wine. He does amazing things in St. John. Points us to him being I am. Ladies and gentlemen, you must understand, just as Moses had to understand, that I am is bigger than who you are. And it don't matter what you've been, don't matter what people call you, as long as you're with I am, you are too. Lord have mercy. I'm going to try it one more time. It don't matter what you've been, doesn't matter what they call you, as long as I am is with you, you are too. And ladies and gentlemen, you can't live without air, water, and food. And John, you can add in light too if you want to, because you need light to kind of grow as well. But primarily, you need air. Mess around, don't breathe. You need water, and you need sustenance. And John is so sneaky that in chapter 3, he tells Nicodemus, you can't get saved unless you're by the Spirit. Capital S, Spirit. You cannot be saved unless you go and be baptized by water and Spirit. Capital S. Another name for Spirit is wind. Another name for wind is breath. He said that in chapter 3. You need air in chapter 3. Then he says you need food. So Jesus says in St. John, that same book, chapter 6, I am the bread of life. I done gave you two I ams you should have shouted about right there. The first I am is understand that he is the Spirit. The Spirit is he. He gives you life through his breath. Then in St. John 6, you worrying about tangible food. I am the bread of life. But see, some of y'all doing right now like his disciples did in St. John 6. When he started talking about I'm the bread, people walked away. Because nobody wanted to take of him, they wanted to take from him. And I want to talk to people today who are no longer trying to take from him. You want to take of him. You want to commune with him. You want to abide with him. If I don't have another dime in my pocket, I still need bread of life. Bread of heaven. Bread of heaven. Feed me till I want no more. And then he says it again. You got to have light. And so Jesus says once again in St. John chapter 8, that same book, I am the light of the world. The one I want to deal with today, though, is water. Because without water, you and I can't live. Your body is majority water. Amen. And you got to have water, otherwise you can't live. And God wants to talk to us today because many of us don't understand the well hadn't run dry. You just went to the wrong well. Lord have mercy. You ain't went to, the well that you supposed to have ain't went dry. You going to wells that can't sustain you. And such happens to this Samaritan woman. Now Jesus is on his way from Judea to Galilee because they've got an argument going on between about those who are saying that he's greater than John the Baptist. And Jesus don't sit there and try to prove the point. He don't get involved in all that. Jesus just leaves. That's a word for somebody else. If I had time, I'd park right there. Stop fighting over stuff don't matter. Just leave. And keep on and do what the Lord has called you to do. Now, in between Galilee and Judea is a place called Samaria. It's the shortest way to get back to Judea is through Samaria. But the problem is Jews don't want to go through Samaria. Most Jews want to go around Samaria because you don't want to go through Samaria because Samaria is where the bad people live. Samaria is where the cursed people live. Samaria is where the evil, according to Jews, people live. So no Jew should ever go through Samaria for anything. Y'all missed that. Can I bring it home? You wouldn't think that Jesus would come through Winfield, but he is. You wouldn't think Jesus would go through Milltown, but he is. You wouldn't think he would go through your neighborhood, but he is. You don't even think he'll come through you, but he is. You think you so cursed that he can't bless you. You think you so far to the left, he can't get you back right. You think you've been so wrong, he can't get you straight. But I serve a God who will break the rules. He'll break the rules known to man to bring you out of your situation. Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. Watch what happens, watch what happens, watch what happens. I'm in the Bible. I'm in St. John chapter 4. He's on his way, and he goes through a place where nobody else is willing to go. And here's the problem. Here's the thing that you got to deal with. Samaria, to get from Judea to Galilee, that's the shortest route. It makes perfect sense to go through Samaria, but because people don't like it, you won't go. Because the church don't like it, you won't go. So look what Jesus does. Jesus slick, man. Jesus slick. Jesus sends his disciples to the store. Because some places, when you're on assignment from God, you can't take certain people. Because certain people will mess up what God want to do in your life, through your life, for your life. And some people can't go with you. You got to trust God and go to places that other people may not be able to go. I want to talk to three people, I'll be number four, who don't care about being popular anymore. I want to be powerful. I don't care about people celebrating me. I want to be committed to what God has called me to do. Tell somebody next to you, somebody got to go to Samaria. If I could do an experiment right now, there are some assignments that God has put in your life, and you bypass them, you go another way so you ain't got to see it. Because every time you see it, you're reminded of your assignment. And some of us have mastered the art of avoiding people. You see, Jews don't fool with Samaritans. That's history. Jews, good church folk, don't fool with bad folk. By nature, church folk don't fool with worldly folk. Can I try one more time? Church folk, you and me, don't fool with them bad guys outside the church. Here's the problem, though. Samaritans, Jews call them dogs. But here's what people don't know about Samaritans. They are a mixed breed. Samaritans are mixed with Jew and Gentile. When they had the Assyrian captivity and they came back to Jerusalem, came back to Israel, some of those mothers and fathers hooked up with outside people. And they tried to come back to Israel like they ain't done nothing. And so now you got Samaritans who are really blood. But because they don't look like you, you want to pretend they're not you. And there are some brothers and sisters who don't dress like you do, but you're still called to bring them to salvation. Whether you like it or not. And that's what's wrong with the church. We want to keep everybody in a box and don't want to deal with the reality that when I look in the mirror, I might be a mixed breed myself. Because you ain't always holy. Okay. You ain't always said the right thing. Some of y'all can't praise God today because of what you did not praise him for last night. Don't make me go up and down these pews. Most of us in this room are mixed breeds right now. But when we get to the building, we want to act like we ain't a Samaritan. And it just so happened, Jesus on his journey back home, Jesus on this journey back home, he stops at Jacob's well at this place called Sychar. Can the church say Sychar? Sychar is known by the Jews as the place of liars and drunkards. It's what the Jews call this area, Sychar, the place where liars and drunkards live. And Jesus had the nerve to stop where drunkards and liars live. And when Jesus do it, it takes away excuses from his disciples. Because if the leader go, if you really a follower, you go follow him as he go. It got quiet in the sanctuary right then. And that's why he sent them to the store, because they were going to mess it up. Lord have mercy. Everybody can't be on the evangelism team. Because some people, some of y'all in this room, don't care if anybody else gets saved. Long as you are. Y'all could care less. You care less. Got quiet again, didn't you? Could care less. Long as you and your household blessed. You don't care about anybody else. Why are we wasting money going to Sychar? Why are we wasting money fooling with them? They ain't going to do no better because you ain't doing no better. He stops. He gets tired, which shows us to his humanity. He gets tired and thirsty, and he stops at a well. He didn't stop for water. He stopped for the woman. But he has to give the impression that he's a normal person. That should have helped somebody in the church. That you can't help yourself or nobody till you learn how to be a human. Some of y'all are so holy, you can't even be human. Y'all can't smile. You can't say hello. You can't go to a ball game. Everything is the devil. Everything is cursed. Everybody trying to hoodoo you. Everybody trying to put witchcraft on you. Can you learn how to be a human being? If Jesus can be a human, why you can't? And if you ain't learned how to be holy and human, you ain't holy. You faking. He stops at the well. High noon, he stops at the well. Now, normal folk go get water. The normal people in Sychar go at 6 p.m. Jesus goes at noon, knowing this sister's finna come at noon. Because her experiences cause her not to go when other folk go. She need water like everybody else, but because they talk about her so much, she go get water at a time when the church ain't around. And I'm looking at people today who can't really be themselves because the church go talk about you if you really come down here and ask for prayer. They go scandalize your name and worry about what's going on in your house. If they see you with your hand lifted, if they see you cry, they gonna be so busy in your business, they ain't gonna help you with nothing. Talk, man. So she had to come up with a time where can't nobody see her and get the very thing everybody else needs. Who am I talking to who try to sneak and pray? Because you can't deal with people looking at you. You try to sneak and forgive. You try to sneak and do right because you don't want people looking at you because you know they're going to talk about you based on what they heard about you. Thank God today that when you go by the well, you get four things. The first thing you get when you go by the well is you get a connection with Christ. You get a connection with him. I just told you how you connect with him. You get to their terms and you go to their territory. Missed it. If you're going to really be and represent Christ, you got to learn how to deal with people in their terms and how to deal with them in their territory. She did not have to come to Bethlehem and find Jesus. Jesus came to Sychar and found her. She didn't have to get to Jerusalem to find Jesus. Jerusalem came to her. I knew y'all were going to amen that one. That's why it's important that we get out of these four walls and represent Christ the way we should. That's why we do our prayer walk. That's why we have our picnic. That's why we go to the hospital. That's why we go to the nursing home. Because we can't, them people can't get to us, but we got an ability right now to get to them. And if you can't be saved unless you're in the sanctuary, you got a very little saving. And some of us in this room only saved in the sanctuary. Your salvation is only limited to these four walls. You got a very, very small salvation. Sometime, tell somebody next to you, sometime, you got to go to Sychar. And look, y'all, he's still Jesus. Jesus put himself in a position to look weak and was still the Savior of the world. If you can't be a preacher without a suit, you ain't no preacher. If you can't handle casual Sundays and think that's the devil, you got a casual relationship with Christ. Because God ain't come save your clothing, your dress code. He came to save your sin-sick black soul. And so he makes a connection by coming to her terms and her territory. He came to where she comes, and he talked to her on her terms. And when she gets to the well, she sees a Jew. And he asked her, will you give me some water, please? And automatically now, this Samaritan woman, she's a mixed breed, so she recognizes him as a Jew. A couple more things I'm going to tell you about in just a minute. Stay tuned. As a Samaritan woman, she recognizes him as a Jew because she see a half-relative. Because I told you that Samaritans are mixed breed. Lord have mercy. So she see the God in him without him being in church. She see the God. Can people see the God in you at a ball game? Can they see you, the God in you at the grocery store? Oh, my God. I look at some of us saved folk in church who can't take nothing, don't make no noise in church, but Friday nights at Stokes Walker Stadium, I done seen you DDT and bulldog referees and officials because they call a foul on your baby. That's why the church don't get folks saved, because they see us act up in our everyday life. They see you take too much change and call it a blessing. They see you leave work early. She sees him. And Jesus say, will you give me some water? I'm trying to get through, y'all. I'm trying to get through. He says, will you give me some water, please? And she looked at him, what business is this for you to be asking me for some water? Y'all don't fool with us. Can I bring it to us, 2019? Because y'all don't understand thou and has no way, so I might well talk to y'all on our term. What you asking me for water for? Y'all don't fool with us. I know Mr. Holy, Miss Church ain't asking me for something. Now, I really got to bring this thing to 2019. Can y'all handle it? Can y'all show y'all can handle it? Y'all finna get, y'all gonna go lie on me anyway, but let me go on and tell the truth now. You got Jesus, you got Samaritan woman, you got Sychar, you got Jacob's well. That Joseph is father, that Jacob gave Joseph. You got Jacob's well at Sychar. It's known for drunks and liars. It's known to be a pretty tough place to go to that well. Jesus go there. Jesus goes there and sit there and wait. Most people who see Jesus sitting in the wrong place and just sitting there want to know, what is Jesus doing there? Man, if you don't go and preach that word in here. And then the first thing people see is some woman show up who everybody know got a history of hooking up with a lot of men. And Jesus show up at the well trying to do ministry and mess is talking about him. Can you endure mess and still do ministry even though people calling it mess? Because if you don't want to be talked about, you can't do ministry. And a lot of you have had innocent conversations and people called it something else and you stop doing what God say do because you ain't want people being messy. Because what God sees is my son trying to save somebody. But unfortunately, what world see is a man and a woman hooking up at a well. It don't matter what your intentions are, messed up people can always go see messed up stuff. Let me move on. But they still make a connection. And she looks at him, I know you ain't asking me. So now you got to look at her history and what she know about men. And normally, when somebody asks some of you, they want something from you. Y'all acting all brand new now. Now everybody's slow. Now nobody know what I'm talking about. Pastor has gone too far. Most of us right now can't, oh Lord, most of us can't get a blessing now because you think everybody after that. And somebody see you with a flat tire. And they trying to help you with your flat tire. Oh, no, I'm a strong, but you ain't fixed that tire yet. Somebody help the band preach now. Help him preach. You're hungry. They bring food. Oh, no, I'm fine. Your stomach's still growling. No. No. And you won't take it because you're too proud, but you can't cook. What I'm saying to some of us is, here's a word hot off the press from God. You're looking at what you're looking for. That God has sent you prayers answered. God has sent you provision. But your closed-mindedness, your narrow-mindedness is causing you to forfeit your own blessing. Oh, I ain't getting no amens on that one, did I? What you asking me for water for? Because she's some fishy about it. And she says it to him. You up here at this well, you ain't got no rope. You ain't got no bucket. You ain't over here for no water. Y'all, I ain't left the Bible yet. You ain't got no rope. Everybody else who come to this well know this well been a long time. It's deep. Sir, you ain't got no rope. And you ain't got no bucket. How you finna get this water out of here? You up to something. And some of us can't get help from God because you think God up to something. I love how y'all get so brand new in church, man. Y'all act like y'all. And he makes a connection. with her by meeting on her term. And so he says, what business do you have with us? Jesus says, you know, if you really knew who you talking to, if you knew I had to offer, and then you see your situation, you wouldn't be asking me. But it leads to a conversation. Still got your Bible? Still got your Bible? The woman said, how is it you asking me for a drink? Verse 9, verse 10. Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God, and who is this said to you, give me the drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living. Problem with us is, y'all, that we're having when it comes to Christ, is that Christ wants to deal with your soul and spirit more than your stuff. And many of us would be happier in our life if Jesus would just give us stuff and not bother me by my spirit and my soul. Jesus keep dealing with you about your heart and your mind and your deeds. He just won't go on and just, man, will you just give me the money, please? Will you just heal me, please? I don't want to hear all this about my soul. I just need the water. But here's what you ought to understand. Yesterday you came and got watered as well, and you didn't see Jesus. Today you happen to do what's ordinary, and you find somebody extraordinary. See, we treating today, the Lord's day, like it's an ordinary day. And you didn't even come prepared to get anything living. You want something that's just tangible. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You really didn't come for him to do nothing to your soul, do nothing with your spirit. You came to this altar. I guarantee 60% of y'all came praying for something tangible. But you didn't ask God to do nothing in you, but you asked him to do something for you. And here he is saying, I want to give you living water. Living means effective, active water that sustains you continuously. Living water. So because she's who she is, and because we are who we are, when somebody make an offer, and because you like living like a beggar, you want to hear more about it. Because truth be told, most of us in this room love to hear the word free. You love that word free. And you'll at least entertain a conversation. That's the next C, by the way. The next thing you find at the well, you get a connection, then you get this conversation. Now you'll at least entertain offers because they're saying something you want to hear. Lord have mercy. See, most of us are cheap. So it takes somebody to offer something that ain't going to cost much. I don't mind y'all knowing. I got hustled this week. I did. I got hustled this week because they called me with an offer. Mr. Hams, we've got a promotion that we're doing. Normally, I don't hear all that. I don't listen to this. No, I don't hear that. And we got a promotion where it's going to cut your bill. Say what now? I ain't signed no contract, but I'm entertaining conversation. Yeah. Run that by me again. How you gonna cut my bill? Show me right now. Yeah. Yeah. I don't care about y'all laughing at me. Sometimes I'm cheap. Sometimes I'm cheap. When you say something about cutting my bill, I say, Lord, I thank you. And I entertain a conversation. Now, by the end of the week, I had another conversation I wanted to give them because y'all cheated me. Laughing a bit too hard, ain't you, Mr. Nickel? So she says, the woman says, sir, you ain't got nothing to draw with. How you gonna tell me something about water and you don't have anything to even get water with? And he says, I'm not talking about that kind of water, sweetheart. Look at verse 13, whoever drinking of this water I'm talking, this water you talking about, you'll get thirsty again. You have to keep coming to that man. keep coming to that woman. You're going to keep tripping off that job. You're going to keep tripping off the church because you keep depending on that stuff to keep you. But the water I want to offer you, you ain't going to ever thirst again, and the job won't be that important. The man won't be that important. The woman won't be that important. The stuff won't be that important when you start getting your mind on the right kind of water. Can I point something out to you? She's telling him what he need to work for. He's telling her what she just need to receive. She's trying to tell him about equipment and tools. You ain't got no rope or bucket. You ain't got an open heart. Because the water I want to give you, you don't need no rope or bucket for. And some of us are making our lives too complicated because we think it costs something that it do not cost. All the Lord wants you to do today is simply believe and receive he'll do it, but you're making it harder than it's got to be. And they have this conversation. And they have a conversation. And the more he talked, the more they have dialogue, he starts saying stuff she wanna say, she wanna hear. Look what he says. Whosoever drinketh of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. And the water I give him shall be in them a water, a spring that brings forth life everlasting. That sounds good to somebody who's tired of coming to a well. That sounded good to her that she can find a shortcut to success. It sounds good to y'all. When you hear turn around 10 times, it's gonna come out, come down. It sounds good when somebody give you some kind of catchphrase and cliche. When it's made to appear to be everything you've been looking for. Cause she's tired, once again now, she comes to the well at a time where no one can see her. She's tired of trying to hide her pain. And so if the Lord's offered her something, she can just do it at home. Now I ain't got to get out and deal with nobody. Jesus said, nope, you missed it again. Because she asked him and she says, give me that water. Like I did. Send me the promotional. But when they send you the promotion, it's always some fine print. And it never sounds like what they told you on the phone. Somebody ought to help me preach. It's not their fault I took the wrong meaning of this crooked deal they tried to make with me. They were crooked when they called me. But they used me being frugal, not cheap. They used me being frugal to draw me in. Jesus offered her something she'd been looking for, but it wasn't the way she thought it was going to be. And she messed around and told Jesus, give me that water. Where I ain't ever got to keep coming back to this well. Where I ain't ever got to keep worrying about people talking about me. Give me that water. And so Jesus now gets us to a place, y'all, that I ain't going to like this one. When you go to the well, you're going to have connection with him. You're going to have what else? Conversation with him. Here's what you ain't going to like, though. That every now and then, if you really go be what he called you to be and go to your new place, you got to deal with conviction from Christ. That means he got to tell you the truth about yourself. See how quiet it got in church? That's how quiet it got at the well. Because Jesus did something that she was not expecting him to do. Now, you done gave me an offer about water. All I want to do is hook up this deal with me and you. Go get your husband. He deals with the issue that's got her coming to the well in the first place. I'm going to try that one more time. He goes directly and makes her face what's got her coming and being dependent on the well in the first place. That's why y'all don't like church. That's why y'all get mad at preachers. That's why y'all can't stand Bible study, because the Bible has a way of giving you the God knows truth about you. And most of us in this room don't come to church. We get mad at church because we think the preacher throwing off on you because he got to be done talk to somebody to know your business. He has. It's called Holy Spirit. You're supposed to be offering me water. Why are you worrying me about a husband? Go get your husband. Sam, am I still on, man? Okay, thank you. Go get your husband. I thank God for this sister, because she told the truth. How many of us still won't tell him the truth? You know, for him to even say that, he knows something about you. And you still go perpetrate. Oh, I'm in the house now, ain't I? Go get your husband. This woman says, I don't have a husband. He didn't say, go get your man. Go get bae. Go thou and get his best. He didn't say go get best. Go get your husband. Go get the one that you're in contractual marriage union with. And she tells him the truth. When the Lord comes to you in your life now at the well, most of us, when the Lord starts telling the truth, I'll get water tomorrow. You know what? I got something left in my refrigerator. I don't have to. I'm good. I've been broke before. I don't need no water today. Because y'all, there's something y'all don't know about the Lord. The Lord will meddle in your business. Has anybody been like me and ever been in church and the word was so direct you thought you the only one in the church? You get nervous, you want crackers, you gotta find something to get this thing off you. You pinch your baby so they'll crack. Now don't y'all play crazy. I've seen some of y'all do it. And I've seen you pinch them babies so they'll cry. Oh, let me go take this baby out. Oh, poor baby. Because that truth hitting you so hard, I can't deal with this. Go get your husband. I don't have one. You have well said, Jesus says. You done told the truth. He said, you know why? Because you had five. You had five husbands. Now, you know what? I'm going to say this to you. We've been hard on this sister. Because this sister, most of us look at this text and we call her a prostitute. This lady was literally married five times. And for whatever reason, those marriages ended. She was not a promiscuous prostitute lady. And for many times, we've called her out by, you know why? Because that's how we are. And we put stuff on other people that we are. This woman was not a prostitute. She's just a heartbreaking sister looking for love. Because she thought the marriage was going to save her. The marriage was going to give her what she needed. And she had five husbands. They either died or some bad divorce, which you know in the Jewish, if you get a divorce according to those days, you're in trouble anyway. You're sinning. So she had a lot of problems. But these, whatever reason, these marriages could not last. And so she's dealing with life that did not work out the way she thought. Now, who else in this room can identify when life don't go the way you thought? See, many of y'all took this text and looked from the outside in. See, I ain't had five. I ain't been doing that. You done dealt with stuff more than once that didn't work out your way. And many of you right now are at the well of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church, and you're upset with God because your life didn't go the way you wanted it or thought it was going to go. You're frustrated. You won't live. You won't dream. You won't try. You won't trust. You won't go. You won't sow. You won't give. You're just existing and not living. Just like this sister here was doing. She was just existing at the well, carrying on her everyday life. She didn't even ask the Lord to show up. He showed up because she didn't ask for it. Because she wasn't looking for change. She's just looking for another husband. The because she thought that's what it was going to take to fix her life. Somebody in this room thinks that this job that you want is going to fix your life. If you can just get this relationship going, that's going to fix your life. If you can just feel better in your body, that's going to fix your life. If I can just get a few more dollars, I'll be where I need to be. And the Lord come to tell you today, you've had five jobs. You've had five illnesses. You got five different issues going on. And that didn't work. You need something that's going to keep you and not just be there. Because a true blessing, you don't keep it. It keeps you. Through this conversation, she gets convicted about the truth of her life. Y'all in the Bible? Because she finna do us in just a minute. I ain't got no husband. Sir, I think you're a prophet. Now, wait a minute. This helps us when it comes to Winfield, how we evangelize the Winfield, how we evangelize our family, because what does a sinful woman know about prophets? That means she done been to Sunday school. She done went to somebody's vacation Bible school to know anything about a prophet. She didn't say he was a fortune teller. Sir, I perceive, I discern, you're a prophet. So she might be a worshiper, but she's just worshiping the wrong way. I'm helping y'all. I know I'm helping you. Look what happens. I perceive that you are a prophet. Now, this is what she does. And you, when you get the conversation and it convicts you, best thing, well, not the best thing, but what we normally do is change the subject. Yup, you got your Bible? Jesus done told her about them husbands. Go get your husband. She ain't left yet. Go get your husband. She ain't left yet. I ain't got no husband. You done said the right thing. Verse 19, I perceive you're a prophet. Our father used to worship up there in Mount Gerizim. He just talked to you about your husbands. And she changed the subject. Because when you get the truth dealt with you and you're getting convicted, then normally what you try to do is change the subject and deflect it off you. I ain't love the Bible, y'all. I ain't love the Bible. Yeah, you know, when we worship up there in Gerizim. He ain't ask you where you worship. Have I left the Bible? Gerizim was where the Samaritans worshiped, Jerusalem where the Jews worshiped. And she tried to make it seem like we better than y'all. We got our own church. It ain't that we don't know nothing about God. Ain't that what people tell you in the streets? I know God. I worship God how I worship God. I ain't got to come to church. Ain't this what people tell you? I don't have to come to y'all and worship. I got my own walk with God. And the only reason they told you that because you told them the truth. Amen. And some of us now don't come to church like we ought to. Don't come worship because you feel like you can do it at home because you got your own man-made Gerizim. I ain't got to come up there. I ain't got to come to church all the time. I got my own way to worship. I got Benny Hinn, Joyce Meyer, T.D. Jakes. I can watch TV and worship just like that. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. And they wouldn't have went off on you unless you told them. Truth has a way of making folk clown. And so now she's going to try to bring in, she already brought in racism, now she's going to bring in religion. She tried to use racism to not deal with it at the well by saying, what you doing being a Jew talking to me? Now she want to bring religion in to cause a problem. Well, we don't worship. Just call. I don't have to do all that jumping and praising like y'all do. No one says you got to do that when you come here. Well, I thought I was going to land the plane better than this. I'm starting to experience some turbulence. You're right. Look what he says. Our fathers worship in this mountain, Gerizim. Y'all worship on Jerusalem. Jesus said, you know what? A day is coming where it don't matter what church you go to. You better make sure you worship God. Because the Lord is looking for true worshipers who are not limited to a building. Lord have mercy. She tried to make excuses, and all she did was make his point. Y'all so mad. Y'all so drove right now. I understand. Because y'all been making these excuses because you don't want to deal with the truth about yourself. Y'all Jerusalem. Y'all. And Jesus said, if you really want to be funny about it, it starts with the Jews. What y'all got is a half-hearted walk with him anyway. It's grace that's keeping y'all little church open. And so she says to him, look what she says. Let's go back in the Bible. Y'all don't look at me. God's a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So she tried to get deep again. I know that the Messiah is going to come. She tried to give him Jewish doctrine. Now you're a Samaritan trying to deal with something you can't deal with. I know the Messiah coming, and when he comes, he going to show us all this stuff. That what you looking for, ma'am? I am he. I, that you're speaking about, that's me. Can you accept the fact that even though the person told you the truth, it was the Lord who sent them to tell you the truth? Listen, the Lord is not going to send a comet just for you. Lord, give me a sign. That's what you're getting right now. Lord, give me a sign. Ooh, lightning, that's a sign. No, in the atmosphere, there's a low pressure system that's causing these kind of contractions in the atmosphere and sending a thunderclap and lightning. It's static in the atmosphere. The Lord ain't getting your attention. God has his word to give you all the signs you need. Now, you got to stop looking at the container and get the contents. I love when y'all do that. I love it. And I don't take offense to it. I love when y'all do it. You know what? T.D. Jakes, you preach the same thing T.D. preached. That's confirmation. How come T.D.? You know what? You preach the same thing. Like I stole this sermon. That's what y'all be trying to say. But the word is going to confirm itself. And here's the problem. TD said, Creflo said, Ham said, you ain't changed yet. You got all this confirmation, ain't done nothing. But you waiting on the sign. And y'all make these clouds look like stuff. That Jesus coming down. No, it's clouds. He's got his word. Look at. Oh, here comes the chariot. It's clouds. Clouds. And y'all looking for signs and won't read his word. On Facebook, and somebody told you, like and share it, he's coming back. Some cloud looked like a man with a beard. Clouds! That's how silly we done got. Because we don't want to read and believe this. He done told you for 2,000 years he's coming back. You don't need no cloud to tell you he's coming back. And then when the storm from the cloud leave, you go right back to what you was doing. So they have conviction. And then the disciples come back and see Jesus talking to them. And so here they go being churchy. What in the world he Jesus doing fooling with her? Ain't it bad how your own